Psalm 146. I love the study of the Psalms. The years starting in 2010, 11 and 12, maybe some in 13, we went all through the Psalms for 2 or 3 years, and it was such a blessing to me, and I trust it was to you. The Psalms are the book of praise. It's praise unto the Lord. Someone said it's the church's hymn book, spelled H-I-M. It's all about Him. All about Him. So I'm entitling the message from this Psalm 146 from the words found in verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. The God of salvation is the God of Jacob. For his help and hope. We have help and hope in the Lord, his God. I looked this up today in Isaiah 41, verse 14. Let me just read it to you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Remember in our study some years back from Genesis 32, when the Lord met Jacob and changed his name to Israel. The Lord asked him, what is your name? He said, my name's Jacob. God said, yeah, I know what your name is. I know who you are, but now I'm going to make you Israel, a prince with God. The God of Jacob singled him out, blessed him abundantly, not because Jacob was worthy, just the opposite, but rather because the God of Jacob is gracious and long-suffering to his people. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I like these words of Jacob when he said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth. And we can say that in our heart. We're not worthy of the least of God's mercies unto us. But the Lord shows mercy unto his people because he delights to do so. He delights to show mercy. This psalm begins with the words, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and it ends with the same words, praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, sadly, this phrase has been widely used and abused by this religious world, so much so that it's been reduced to a mere meaningless religious slogan, phrase, or even a slang word. Remember back years ago, they had that PTL club back in the, 70s and 80s? And they were always talking about praise the Lord. But it was used in such an irreverent way, to the point of contempt, to the point of using the name of the Lord in vain. We ought to take great care in using the name of the Lord, lest we're guilty of taking his name in vain. The scriptures teach us in Psalm 111, holy and reverend is his name. Don't ever call someone who says he's a preacher Mr. Reverend Jones or Reverend Smith. Don't ever call a man reverend, and certainly don't address me that way. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. Holy and reverend is his name. His name. So remember that. Now let's look at verse 1 for a moment. Praise ye the Lord. And notice it's capital L-O-R-D. Praise the Lord. And do it. Praise the Lord. Oh my soul. Oh my soul. Not just with word service, but in sincerity of heart. This is every believer's desire, is it not? To honor, to esteem, to exalt, and to worship the Lord, not with lip service, but with sincerity of heart, with gratitude of heart, thanksgiving and love unto the Lord. Remember, our Lord said to those Pharisees, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. For you teach for doctrines and commandments of men. The Lord seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to worship the Lord and do so in truth. In truth, in His truth. The truth of His Word, the truth of who He is, the truth of who we are. We can, as a matter of fact, worship the Lord and praise the Lord and not utter a word. We can praise and honor and worship the Lord and not say outwardly, audibly, one single word. Hannah prayed that way. Eli watched her and she was moving her mouth but didn't speak outwardly anything. And Eli the priest accused her of being a drunk woman. She said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm simply praising the Lord. I'm laying out my burden to the Lord. You see, God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. You remember He told Samuel that when he went down to the house of Jesse and looked at all them big boys, big strong boys of Jesse. And finally, he said, God rejected all them and finally said to Jesse, you have any sons left? God rejected all those. And Jesse said, yeah, but I'm embarrassed to tell you about him. He's up there in the field keeping a sheep. And Samuel said, you go get him, fetch him, bring him here. And he did. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, that's my anointed. God looked on the heart of all them other boys and passed them by. God looked on the heart of David and said, this is a man after my own heart. And of course, you know the rest of the story, how David was anointed and blessed as the king of Israel. And he writes these words, I believe. This psalm, like Psalm 145, is the psalm of David. Now notice verse 2, he says, while I live, while I live, will I praise the Lord? While I have life, will I praise the Lord? It's kind of a form of a question, although there's not a question mark there. But the answer comes back quickly. I will praise, sing praises unto my God while I have any being at all. Every believer is highly motivated to worship the Lord. We have good reason to do so because we have life while we have any being. He's given us life, not only physical and fleshly life, but more importantly, He's given us spiritual life. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now, while I live, while I have any being, while I'm here among men, I'm going to give Him all the honor and glory. I'm going to worship Him. Verse 3. Now, he tells us what not to do. He said, now we're going to praise the Lord, but here's what we're not going to do. It's good to know what not to do, isn't it? Put not your trust in princes. The Lord tells us over and over and over again, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Put not your trust in princes or kings, princes of the earth. Or kings of the earth, nor in the Son of Man, and he means by that any son of Adam, in whom there is no salvation. Now, wouldn't it be a foolish thing to trust that where God says there is no salvation? Put not your trust in any prince or president or king. There's no help from them, not any spiritual help from them, in whom there is no salvation in them. Salvation is not found in earthly men, places, or churches. Salvation is found in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can be assured of this. There is salvation in Him. I like what Simeon said. Lord, let me die in peace. I've seen Thy salvation when He picked up that 40-day-old baby when they brought Him to do according to the custom of the law. Believers desire to worship the Lord. Therefore, they will put the confidence or their faith in Him. We dare not trust the flesh. I don't know if you pick up the paper and read it, but there was an article in the paper by a particular writer. She writes almost every week, And she writes a little something in our local paper about religious things. And she had an article in there about Abraham, about Abraham's faith. Abraham is held forth in the scripture as an example of faith, right? But in that article, she made this statement, and she got it from someone who wrote a book about Abraham and Abraham's faith. But she said, or this man, quoting this man, Abraham's faith was in his faith. That's not so. His scripture says explicitly, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. By hearing by the Word of God, our faith is in Christ. Faith is not in faith. You see how deluded people can be when they write these convoluted books about Abraham's faith. His faith was just in faith. No, his faith. What did the Lord say? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So, we put our trust in Him. In Him. Now, don't trust the flesh. Mine, yours, or anybody else's. There's no salvation in the flesh. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, God says to His prophet Jeremiah, cursed is everyone that trusteth in the flesh. You remember Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. Now, here's why. Verse 4. His breath goes forth. He returns to His earth. And that very day His thoughts perish. Here's why there is no salvation or help or hope in any son of man or any prince or any king of the earth. He's just a man. He breathes. How many breaths do you take in 24 hours? You take a lot of breaths for 24 hours, don't you? One day you take your last breath. The Lord gives the breath, and the Lord takes the breath away. And when the Lord takes the breath away, notice what He says here. He returneth to His earth. It's His. That plot in the ground, that dust, that's yours. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. His breath goes forth from Him. God gives breath and God takes it away. In that very day, all of His plans and ambitions and thoughts and schemes, they perish with Him. They perish with Him. There is no salvation in any earthly king. We do look unto the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, that we might become the sons of God in our blessed Savior. Now, the reason He gives us for not trusting or looking and trusting the flesh, all flesh, you remember how many times we've studied this in Isaiah and other places, all flesh is grass, as the flower of the field, and it fades away. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Someone said, I quoted it, or wrote down his quote rather, he said, to trust in vanity, all flesh is, the man in his best state is vanity. To trust vanity is the height of insanity. To trust vanity, man in his best state is altogether vanity. So to trust vanity is insanity. Back to His earth. But the Word of our God will abide forever. His breath goes forth. He returns to His earth. In that very day, His life on this earth, His thoughts, they perish. Now, verse 5, happy, blessed. That word happy is blessed. Blessed is a man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto Him. Happy and blessed is that man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Psalm 32, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, His hope, the God of Jacob for His salvation, the God of Jacob. Happy and blessed is that man who has the God of Jacob for his hope and help. Look across the page at Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people. That is such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. The Lord. The Lord our God uses this name more than any other when He describes Himself. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Now I counted 26 times in the Word of God we read the God of Jacob. You remember from Malachi where it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The God of Jacob is the God of covenant mercies. He said, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. The God of Jacob is the God of covenant love. He loved His people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does He call us, draw us to Himself. The God of Jacob is the God of covenant revelation. He hid these things from the wise and prudent. Reveal them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in His sight. And the God of Jacob is the God of covenant salvation. The covenant God. You know how many times that word covenant is used in Scripture? Over 250 times. God is the God of the covenant God. The covenant of salvation. I like what David said upon his deathbed, his dying words. God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and it is sure. It's sure. So, this God of Jacob, the true and living God, He's all our help. He's all our help. Remember our Lord said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. He's all our help in the past and in the present and in the future. He was our help even before we knew Him. He knew us. He was our help then. He's our help now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's all our help and He's all our hope. He's our help now and our hope forever. We have a hope, don't we? A good hope. Paul said it's a good hope through grace. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The hope of glory. We have hope. Whose hope is in the Lord His God. Christ Himself is our hope. He's called that. Christ our life. Christ our hope. All hope now. And all hope forever. Now in verses 6 down through 10, verse 10, the end of the psalm, we have God's fit description, the Lord our God, the God of Jacob, a fit description of Himself. 12 things, glorious things are given unto us, and it teaches us again that salvation is of the Lord. Whose hope is in the Lord His God. Notice, not period, colon. Which made heaven and earth. That's our God. He's the Creator. Created all things by the word of His power. He created the sea and all that is therein. God spoke all things. God said, let there be light. And there was light. In the beginning, God created all things. He's the Lord our God. Created all things. And think about this. How does a dead sinner have a created new spiritual life? He's our Creator. He gives us spiritual life. You have to be quickened who were dead. We're going to see that in Ephesians 2 on Sunday. He made heaven and earth. And He makes us fit for His presence. He makes us fit for His presence. He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And He makes us fit for His presence in that He gives us a new nature just like unto himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in Christ, who delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn Lord of every creature. Salvation is of the Lord. And then, here's the second thing. He keeps truth. He keeps truth, which keepeth truth forever. Everything he speaks is true. You know, there's some things that God cannot do. He cannot change. I'm the Lord, I change. He cannot lie, can he? It's impossible for God to lie. He keeps truth forever. Lies always change. Truth never changes. What God spoke 10,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, is still true today. He said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. My word is never going to pass away. He keeps truth and speaks truth forever. Why is that so important? Our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our Lord said, I am the way. I am truth. I am the way. I am truth. I am life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. Look at verse 7. The Lord executeth judgment for those who are oppressed. The Lord giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. Now, let's look at those three things in verse 7. The Lord executes judgment and justice for the oppressed. Those His covenant people who are oppressed with their sin. Think about this. He judged our sin in Himself, because He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. Christ suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. He executed judgment. He executed judgment upon Himself for our sin. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of God. What a marvel of God's sovereign grace, which executed judgment for the oppressed. He takes all of our sin, all the sin of God's people, takes them to Himself, bears our sin in His own body, bears them away, and then gives us His righteousness. That's redemption, deliverance from sin, and righteousness. Two things I must have. And they're both in Christ. He has done these things for us. And then it says, He gives food to the hungry. We feed upon the Lord. The Lord giveth food to the hungry. He's our good shepherd. Because the Lord is our good shepherd, we shall not want. He leads us beside still waters, green pastures of His word. He feeds His sheep the water of life. He said, ho, everyone that thirsty, come unto me and drink. The Lord is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never thirst. He is the milk of the word, where believers desire the sincere milk of the word, that we might grow thereby. The Lord is called in Hebrews chapter 5, He's called the meat of the word. The substance of the word is Christ. He's the sum, substance, and subject matter of the word. The Lord giveth food to His people. Remember, our Lord instructed His church to feed them with the gospel. Feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Christ, we feed upon Christ. He's the heavenly manna. And then it says the Lord, the last part of verse 7, it's the Lord that looseth the prisoner. Now, by nature, we're held captive by sin. We're held captive by the law of God, because we've trespassed against the law of God. And we're guilty before God. Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And we're in prison. No way to get out. Sentenced to death. Guilty before God.
What does he do? He takes our judgment and sets us free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that amazing? The Lord looseth the prisoner. That's why he came. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set the captive free. You remember from our study in Luke chapter 4, from Isaiah 61, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I came to set the captive free, to open blind eyes and to set them free." The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then the Lord not only looses the prisoner, sets us free, gives us liberty, delivers us from the curse of the law, but he opens our eyes. You see verse 8? It's the Lord that opens our eyes. We were blind. We were blind, dead, and in prison. Had no way to see. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's the Lord that's opened our eyes. He's given us eyes, enlightened our understanding that we might see Him. The Lord has opened the eyes of the blind. You remember this scripture from our study? 2 Corinthians 4. He commands the light to shine out of darkness. He shines in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. We were blind through our own sin, ignorant, dumb, and dead without God, without Christ, and without hope. And the Lord opened our eyes. Now we see that we're sinners. Now we see that God is holy. And now we see that Christ is all of our salvation. Here's the next thing he says here. The Lord raises up those that are bowed down. He's nigh them of a broken heart. You remember from last week, right across the page, Psalm 145, verse 14, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall. He raiseth up those that are bowed down." It's the Lord that raises those up who were bowed, broken, hearted over sin. And then it says, the last part of verse 8, "The Lord, it's the Lord that loveth the righteous." Now, preacher, wait a minute. And in and of myself, by nature, by birth, I'm not righteous. You're right. All of our righteousnesses before God are filthy rags. But the Lord loveth the righteous. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the righteous. He loves those in Christ. And He loves us, His people, with an everlasting love in the Lord Jesus Christ because we are righteous. In Him, He is our righteousness. The Lord loveth the Son, right? Has given all things into His hand. And the Lord loves all those in His Son. The Lord loveth His people, covenant people. Verse 9, "The Lord preserveth the strangers." And that's us by nature. We're strangers from the covenants of God, without hope, without Christ in this world. But the Lord preserveth those strangers that are His people. He preserves them. We are strangers and pilgrims here. Like Abraham, we're just passing through looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Those who the Lord is pleased to save, they're saved with an everlasting salvation. The Lord preserveth, we're kept by the power of God. The Lord preserveth His people. And then it says, He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. The Lord is our relief. How do you spell relief? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to meet all our need according to His riches in glory. To the widow, to the believer who is a widow, Christ is our husband. He's the husband of those who believe. To the orphan, Christ is our father. We're sons of God, adopted into His family. Want for nothing. Have everything. all spiritual blessings in Him. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord, it's the Lord. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. You see, all these things we've read here, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I kind of get the idea here that it's the Lord, that salvation's of the Lord, in the Lord, of the Lord, because of Him. But, but, the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. I tell you, my friend, there's nothing more wicked before God than to seek salvation by self-righteousness. There's a way that seems right unto man. The end of that way is death. The way of the wicked, he's going to turn it upside down. Verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Now, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord because the Lord reigns. You know the word sovereignty is not in the Bible. The Lord does reign. That's where the word sovereignty comes from. The Lord does reign forever and ever. His reign is total and complete. He is the sovereign King. He will have mercy. We read it. He will have mercy on whom He will. Why? Because He's the Lord who reigns. Grace is always called sovereign grace. While the unbeliever might say, well, that's not fair. That's not right for God to have mercy on whom He will. The believer rejoices that his Lord is God and the King of all the earth. What is our message? You remember Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that say unto Zion, unto the church, what do we say? Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. How long has He been reigning as God? Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. He rules and reigns over all things. In Revelation 19, I'll quit with this. Let me just read it to you. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts go down and worship God that sat on the throne saying, what did they say? They said, hallelujah. What did we say that meant? Praise the Lord. And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, all you that fear Him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. That's our message now. And that's our message forever. The 24 elders there are representing the church of God. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns. The Lord shall reign. Not maybe, not could be. He doesn't reign if we let Him reign. No, He reigns as King over all things forever and ever and ever.